This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP Chicago. See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Thank you to Malik Andrews for joining us today. Thank you for everybody that listened and called in and contributed. It's been an interesting couple of days, to say the least. But I think
it's going to be interesting again tomorrow.
It is, yeah. We're giving people the platform this week, obviously, because it is important. We feel like it is.
You know, for me, the biggest news on the sports front is the fact that NASCAR is allowing fans to come back in.
That sounds like
many we're going to find out. But, you know, you took a look at the race from Bristol, Connecticut.
Yep.
Did you see how much space there was? Where you could safely socially distance outdoors.
Yeah, outdoors, sure.
Outdoors.
Yeah. And Hawthorne reopening here coming up, it looks like, too, which is great news. Thank you to Randy Merkin and Chris Black, our great producers. Crosstalk is brought to you by PropSwap. Our guys Luke and Ian are standing by us during the pandemic. We're standing by them. PropSwap.com, your home to buy and sell sports bets.
Let me ask you guys a question on that front, okay? I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but like
from the Gloman.
I got on an airplane on Thursday, and I got on an airplane to come back on Sunday.
Yes, you
I
did.
I didn't have anyone next to me on the flight out. I had someone next to me on the flight back, and
right.
Then there was two people across the aisle from me. So there was no social distancing at all, but I was wearing a mask, and I had, you know, hand sanitizer, and I kept my hands to myself. I didn't touch my face. I did all the things that I'm being...
So much for joining the Mile High Club, right?
Yes.
That's
yeah,
right
that
out the window
happen.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
Did you bring a rectal thermometer to check their temperatures by any chance?
I did,
that's what I would say.
I was... You know what? People were not responding
well
to it.
No, they weren't?
No, they weren't. You know, and I thought it was odd because I'm now, I want to say 5 days away from my 29th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So I thought it was probably...
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Wait, 20? Yeah, 29. But I guess my question to you is A, would you be comfortable flying? And B, the question would be, if you were comfortable flying like the way I was, would you then not be comfortable going to a sporting event if, in fact, there was space between you and a few other people?
Yes, I'm comfortable flying. Yes, I'm comfortable going to a sporting event outdoors or indoors.
Right. Okay.
Where I'm
close. Listen, I'm not asking anyone to pass judgment. I'm just asking on your own personal.
Right. And I've answered you. Carmen is now going to give you an answer.
I would be perhaps extra vigilant if there's such a thing with like lots of sanitizing and lots of keeping my distance. But, you know, yeah, I would fly if we were. I don't think we're going to go to Vegas this August. Like, we make an annual Vegas trip. I think we're going to probably 86 that for the year. I mean, it sounds like Vegas might not even open the pools, or it'd be an extremely few. I mean, if you can't go to the pool in Vegas in August, why the hell are you going to Vegas? I mean,
right.
So that we might not do. You know, we have I think I told you guys, we have a family trip booked for December that, you know, we're not planning on canceling. Now, the decision might be made for us. Come
Correct.
November, they might say, you're not allowed to travel. You can't go out of the country. You know, we might see this huge spike, and we might say, okay, we're not going to go. But we haven't canceled that trip. Like, my wife and I are planning on taking our kids on this trip that we have booked for December. That is our plan as of now. It's 6 months away, so it could be very different. I don't know what to expect. I've got my fingers crossed, though.
Right. And I just don't, like, if they're allowing you to fly.
If they allow us, my guess is.
You're going to fly.
We're going to fly, and we're gonna go. And I was that reckless of me, especially with our kids.
Pinehurst.
Call me whatever
November.
You want. But
the good kids going to Pinehurst November, Bears bye weekend, on a flight, going to have fun.
You know.
Now, I know, Sylvie, you're in a different situation because, you know.
I'm immune compromised right now.
Yes. Exactly. So that's why I wasn't excluding you.
But look, I don't know. I mean, like, I want to plan a trip in December, too. I've got a kind of a double whammy here where not only am I worried about COVID, I got to make sure that I'm healthy.
Right.
But I feel like flying is more of like an essential thing. Now, look, you don't have to go on a vacation.
Especially if you want to get somewhere.
Right. It's a mode of transportation. Like, I could still hold off longer on going to an event. I could watch it on TV still experience
it. That's true.
And it's more of like an extra thing. I'm planning on Friday, if everything's okay, taking the, you know, I'm not working that day on, we're planning on going to one of our favorite restaurants and sitting outside.
Good.
Now, this isn't even a deck, like where I'm going at Abigail's is they have tables on like the sidewalk. So nice they're deck. Really spread out.
Yeah, that's what all the places by us are doing. They're actually blocking off parking spots in the street so that the restaurants and bars can put the tables out there to keep everybody really distanced.
Let's do
still open back up. That's what was happening by me last weekend in town, at a few places by us, and I think in LaGrange, people, they were doing that too. So, that's good. Yeah.
You know what, Carm, I asked the question because, it, to me, it's kind of, it's a precursor to having fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about 70,000 people, you know, climbing all over each other. But if you create an environment, listen, again, like I'm sitting right next to someone on a plane. That's up to my own personal decision whether or not I wanted to take that risk. Today, tomorrow, it's wrong for me to pass judgment on whether you want to do that or not want to do that. That's your individual choice. I chose to do it to accept the risk. I would think, and Sylvie makes a great point, that going to a game is less essential than for me getting to South Carolina unless I wanted to drive, which is what my wife did, but... you have to fly to get somewhere. You don't have to go to a game to see it because you could sit on your couch.
Waddle, here's a question that we, and Yurko and Carm too, we debated this on Friday. So, like, a caller called in and said that his daughter works for the Miami Dolphins. And originally, remember, we heard that they were one of the first to say, hey, we're going to spread everyone out.
Right, they're putting a plan together to have fans.
Yes. He told us the only plan the Dolphins are working on now is 100% capacity.
Boom.
They are not.
Boom.
There is no quarter capacity plan. So what Abdallah, me, Jesse, and Meller were asking, if you can have fans in the stands in Texas, if you can have fans in the stands in Wisconsin for the Packers, you could have fans in the stands in Miami.
Unfair.
And the Bears can't.
Right.
Is that, do you just, because it's a pandemic and not everything's going to be fair this year. Do you just allow people wherever they can to have a crowd, or is it an unfair advantage for some teams versus the others?
I think the answer is the same with opening up the facilities. I don't think they would allow everyone to be, you know, like activity to happen until everyone was allowed.
Well, you're also not dependent upon the whims of a governor at that point either.
Correct.
If you're a league,
right.
So you move them out and you play them someplace where they can.
I mean, would you just do that? Would you want the Bears to do that?
It's a great question, Sylvie, because it creates...
It creates an unfair advantage, right?
It will create an unfair advantage.
Yeah, but it's also like this to me seems a little bit more than that, where if you're healthy enough in states to do it, you're going to tell people you can't just because of crowd noise? You know, but just because the Bears don't have a crowd... Like, I think it's huge to get back to living the way we're supposed to live when it's safe. So if it is safe in some states versus some other, you're going to suppress that because of a, quote, competitive edge. To me, this year is one where I say all bets are off for that, and it's most important for...
Yeah, I don't think the league
to advance when we can advance.
I don't think the league's going to say no. You've got an unfair advantage. You're not allowed to have fans in the stands. It's going to be state by state, right? Location by location. I think that's the way it's going to be. And if it's like you said, Sylvie, if it's unfair or not, it doesn't matter in a crazy year. But they're not going to tell.
That's how I feel.
They're not going to tell fans in Miami. They're not going to tell the Dolphins can't have gate revenue because the Bears.
It's unfair unfair to the Patriots, or the Jets.
Yeah, I can't see that happening. I really can't.
So what you're saying is if you're a team, a professional team in the city of Chicago, and we don't have the same rules
would
as
I
Texas,
play somewhere else?
It is just it is what it is.
Would you go play at Notre Dame Stadium?
Yeah, I mean it's. I think these are all really interesting questions.
And you can put 40. You could fill it halfway. They tell you can put 40,000 fans in there.
Where are we
what
at?
Do you guys think right now with
college football?
I think they're playing.
I think it'll start. Like I agree with what Paul Feinbaum was on with us last Friday, and I kind of and I think it's the obvious statement is that it's going to start on time. Ending could be interesting. It could be. And we could see the demise of a lot of the bowl games, guys, too. I mean, that could happen.
That's not a bad thing.
Which, so that's what a lot of people share that sentiment. You know,
well, wait a second. If you're a kid that's playing on a half.
Detroit. Yeah.
I know, but, like, listen, I remember going, I think my group is getting together for a Zoom call from the 86 Boston College win over Georgia in the Hall of Fame Bowl. I mean, that was one of my most glorious college experiences, although it was really
right up there
nothing.
With a Flutie play.
That's right.
That's great.
I'm just saying, like I'm one that, for television viewing purposes, I get it. There may be too many bowl games, but for kids who, you know, enjoy a nice trip to a sunny locale to play another game, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was fun.
Well, I don't know about the end of the college season or maybe even the NFL season for that matter. Who knows? I do think both leagues are going to start on time. Fingers crossed. That's what else can you say at this point, right? That maybe there's not as bad of a return as we think or that they're predicting, that maybe there's a vaccine by then, even though that could be a little bit unlikely. I don't know, guys. Fingers crossed, right? Think optimistically, I guess. I do think both seasons will start on time, though. And we could get a 50-game MLB season, which means somebody's going to hit 400 this year. So.
That's ridiculous.
Got that going.
Did you pass and said today, and I know we have more important things to talk about today, but pass and said, he said the Nationals had 19 wins at the 50-game mark last year. Like, to put it in perspective, they're the world champions, and that's the importance of playing out a full season, they would not have sniffed an expanded postseason with 19 wins.
That's hilarious. They had 19 wins.
19 wins.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I mean, you know, this is all maybe just part of the negotiation. At least now they're saying, okay, prorated salaries. They got to be crazy. I mean, come on. You know,
I just don't get it, Carm. I really like I have a passion for finance. I may not be good at it, but like CNBC's on my television all day long. So I just have a desire to follow the finances of different situations. It doesn't make me an expert. I enjoy it. Like, I can't understand why deferred compensation isn't on the tongue of everybody in this discussion. I think I heard you guys talking about it either today or yesterday as well.
Well, the players agreed at least, like, they kind of put that, I shouldn't say that. The players put that in their last proposal, right? Everybody making over $10 million if there's no postseason because this comes back in October, November, like, deferred payments with a little bit of interest. So, like, maybe they're working towards that. But, like, yeah, why aren't both sides saying this is a plan that works? This satiates everybody, doesn't it?
I think the players would agree to it, to be honest with you. That's just my own personal opinion. I think if you guaranteed the players their prorated salaries for the number of games and it was the exact amount that they were supposed to get, but you told them that they were going to get a portion of it over the course of time,
right.
It's my belief they would agree to it. I don't know that the owners would because they don't want to pay
that
full
amount. They've told you with the minor leaguers, with the small cost that it would take to keep minor leaguers, they've used this as an excuse to cut the bottom line.
It's crazy. Yeah, look at the A's. You're right. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's nuts.
Dude's worth $5 billion.
Yeah, well, you know, gap money, baby. What's up on the show today, boys?
All right, so, you know, we're obviously going to start. I mean, that wasn't a one-day thing, nor should it be.
No.
This should be a forever thing. And we want to continue to listen, and we want to continue to give people the floor. We want to continue to have people to use their voice on what's going on, how we can make changes, how we can advance here and make it better. 312-332-3776. We'll play a little sample of the Jason Hayward interview, too.
Yeah, it's
got
good.
Rave reviews, some of the things Jay Hay said. You know, you could question him as a player, but the man and the leader, he's pretty much the real deal.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then, like, a good question about the Cubs, too, is, like, how do you feel about the Cubs and the Ricketts family? And, like, is Tom, do you separate Tom with a lot? There is a lot now, and Abdallah's got, you know, passionate thoughts about that. We'll pick his brain regarding that, the Knicks, and all the things that's going on in today's world. But for the most part, we'd like to move out of the way and listen more than we talk, and let the people who need to talk be heard.
All right, boys. Have a great show. Have a great day, everybody. Be safe. Have a good afternoon and a good evening. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
While I'm watching in real time here on Twitter and everything, there's a peaceful protest going on the north side right now.
Oh, good.
Outside Wrigley Field. And there's a lot there on the Cubs topic, the Ricketts family topic.
Yeah.
The marquee right now is sporting the phrase, end racism. So, but from all accounts, it's a very peaceful protest. Like yesterday, I believe the same thing happened in the Wrigleyville area last night, where there were a lot of speakers and everybody, you know, peacefully protested the way it's meant to be done.
It's such a fantastic sight to see when it happens.
Right.
Especially when you see the relationship between the police officers and the protesters, that they can actually coexist without violence being part of the equation. And it really is. I mean, not to get goofy about it, but it's one of the foundations of this country is the capacity to be able to protest peacefully. And to see it in its, you know, best form, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, and we want to hear from you. That's been sort of our thing here is the listening doesn't happen as much as it should. And at least it's a starting point. And for people who may not have the same views, and it's something Jason Hayward said too, is that we all don't have the same views. We all can debate, well, is this the right way? Is this the right way? But let's listen to what the other person has to say, too. And it's something that, you know, no matter what, Waddle and I always take pride in opening up this show and this forum that we have and to give you the voice. 312-332-3776.
Yeah, we've been doing this for over 20 years. Some of us 25. Look, we get 20 hours a week to talk, you know. If
yes.
we decide to back away from the microphone and spend more time listening than talking, that's not a bad thing.
Right. Jerome in the city. Jerome, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I got to tell you, I got to voice my opinion. And I just happened to jump in the car about a half hour ago. And I caught what y'all were talking about prior, Carmen's show. When Kaepernick came out and spoke his piece, nobody on that station jumped up and down and said he has the right to do what he's doing, the way he's doing it, and they need to back off. There was a whole lot of voices that said, oh, okay, I understand, but, you know, now's not the time. That was the time. Jay Hood, and yes, he's black, so yes, he understood, but he was one of the few people that actually just came flat out and said, this is a bunch of baloney. It's a bunch of bull. Kaepernick stood up and said exactly what we all saw. We were watching videos at that time. Well, it had to be, 3 years ago? When Kaepernick stood up and we watched a guy, South Carolina, a guy being shot in his back and a cop lied and said he was under attack. We watched videos across the country of people being shot in cases where there was no reason for that level of violence to ensue. And no one had an issue with it. Except the people that were protesting, no one had an issue with it loudly. Even on this radio station, I listen to the guy that comes on first thing in the morning. Always flip flopping around.
Cap, are you talking about?
Cap.
He actually he said the other day, Jerome, that he was wrong about it.
He called Kaepernick and asked blank blank. You fill in the rest. On the radio station, the Monday morning, after all of a sudden Kaepernick got all the attention, he came on his radio station and was calling him an ass, blah, 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 for saying what he had to say, and called instead of Kaepernick from his word and his insight for what he heard, Kaepernick is a bad teammate, he's a problem in the locker room. Kaepernick was never a problem in his locker room and was never a bad teammate. Kaepernick sat out for took a knee for a couple of games where no one noticed he took a knee, but he never, after the game, made any attention to it, drew any attention to it. It was only after he was seen doing it that he garnered all this attention. And when he garnered the attention, the very same day in the locker room, he was interviewed. And Kaepernick said, in front of all the major stations, all these reporters, I have nothing against the military. I don't have anything against the country. But what I do take a stand for is the way that I see people being treated and people aren't being treated fairly. He said that very clearly in the very first interview. But with 100% certainty, I know I heard across the nation, Colin Kaepernick is taking these stands. It's against the flag. Against what flag? How many times have you sat in the game at home and the national anthem came on and you're talking to your buddies, talking to your friends, laughing and giggling through the whole thing? Nobody stops and stops everything they're doing for the national anthem unless you're actually at the game. So all this attention that became, he's all about disrespecting the military and the flag, was a bunch of BS. Because all these people that were complaining were not standing up for the same flag until Kaepernick took a knee just to say, I am protesting the way that people are being treated in this country. People of color, black, Hispanic, Asian flu. Where is that coming from? It's the Chinese flu. No one took a stand for any of this stuff, including your radio station with Cap, Sylvie, who became like the modern day Tynowitz, where it's like, I don't have any opinion about nothing, Sylvie. I got no opinion about nothing. What do you think?
You're telling me I have no opinions on nothing?
Sylvie, I'm listening to you at every moment about any amongst of issues that come about radio station in the world, rather. And on the radio station, you have no opinion. Until you hear everyone else's opinion, then you share what you think, as long as you got some support for it.
Totally disagree. I am happy to be on an island. I'm always happy to be on the island. I'm cool with saying that I was wrong about Cap. That I was raised to stand up for the flag, to put your hand over your heart. That's how I taught my son too. That doesn't have to be for every at the game. But that doesn't have to be. But that you're right. You're right. And the people go to the concession stands. And I've learned that it takes being uncomfortable to make a point a lot of times. But to say that I don't take a stand or that I don't have an opinion, you've got the wrong guy as far as that's concerned. I hear you. Like, I've listened, and you bring up a lot of great points. Like, the issue with Colin Kaepernick, like, it should not have bothered people, and it should have opened more people's eyes, whether he was the faulty leader or what. He was bringing up a point that this stuff goes on, and now we all watched what we watched a week ago, and we're all saying, okay, now I see it.
Yeah, I would say this. First of all, I would support Sylvie. I mean, if everyone on the station, you sound off on your opinions as loudly and as passionately as anyone. I think the Kaepernick, the issue started with him sitting on the bench, right? And then Nate Boyer, who was a former military guy, said, hey, listen, I know that you're not trying to disparage the flag, and I know this isn't an anti-military thing. What we do in the military, and this isn't me, this is what Nate Boyer, and if I've got the story wrong, somebody please fill in the blanks here. But Nate Boyer said, listen, what we do when we lose a fellow service member is we take a knee, we take our hat off, and we get together taking a knee. And I think that what Boyer actually did was convinced Cap to, instead of sitting on the bench during the anthem, to take a knee. So I think the genesis of his protest, protest itself was that. I can speak for myself, and I know I said it at the time, and I'm being accurate with the recollection of it. I always said I would support all of my teammates' decisions to take a knee if they felt that it was necessary for whatever cause it was that they were trying to promote and whatever was in their heart. I also said that while I may not take a knee, I support the rights for my teammate to do so. So, like, I'm not going to tell you that throughout the course of the time I was one that said, oh yeah, definitely if I'd been in the same situation during my playing career, I would have taken a knee. No, that's not what I said. What I said was I probably wouldn't have taken a knee for the reason that Sylvie mentioned. And maybe it was a misguided feeling of my own that, listen, you know, the national anthem, while Cap wasn't protesting the national anthem and he wasn't protesting the military, to me, standing and hand over your heart and going through the national anthem, that's what it did mean to me. It was, you know, it was kind of a paying homage to those who have fought for freedom and done you know, the unthinkable things that they had to do to provide that freedom. Whether or not that's a misguided feeling or not, I can't, you know, that's just my feeling.
Sure.
But I always supported my teammates. Like, if Wendell Davis, who I treasured as a teammate and respected as much as anybody, decided, just hypothetically, that it was appropriate for him to take a knee, I would have always supported his right to take a knee. But I can't sit here and tell you that I would have taken the knee with him, just being honest with you.
Yeah.
I may have put my hand on his shoulder pad as he was on a knee. I would have always supported his right and his desire to do so. But back when this was a conversation, I think it was in 2016, I can accurately just recollect that I told you that was the case. You know, have I changed my perspective on that? I think probably so, to a certain degree.
So have I.
Think,
right.
I think
it's
also
cool to debate that with somebody, because I'm cool with being uncomfortable talking to our last caller. He brought up a lot of good points. This is not supposed to be an easy conversation, and that's why I said I would like to listen.
I said also during the course of time, and it was something that Michael Wilbon mentioned yesterday, that you know, I don't know how he phrased it. Maybe one of you guys remember exactly what he said, that the message was the message, but he is the messenger at times may have, from Michael's perspective, and I kind of agree with him a little bit. You know, when Cap decided to wear the socks that had the police officers depicted as pigs, and he wore the Fidel Castro T-shirt, and then he told you that he didn't vote. Listen, to me, it still did not change the narrative in terms of him trying to draw attention to police brutality and social injustice. I just think that he is the messenger. Some of his message got lost for those reasons.
Right? I do want to say one thing, because I don't expect Rome to listen to every single hour of this radio station, but there were some people on the station. I was one of them, and I don't want a pat on the back, but I was firmly in the Colin Kaepernick stance and saying, look, it's going to be uncomfortable, and a lot of people who want to change the narrative and point to patriotism are doing that deliberately. I said that on this station, on this show, and also on multiple nights and weekend shows. So I would just ask Jerome, not to say everybody, because everybody on the station has a different opinion, and unless you're listening and recording every single hour, just don't point everybody. You can
people
point
are
out
mad.
Instances.
People are frustrated. I don't blame Jerome one bit, and it's fine. You compare me to whoever you want. These conversations have to be had. We're not shying away from it. 312-332-3776. More of your phone calls next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Good conversations being had, conversations that need to be had. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We'll play you a little bit of the Jason Hayward in a little bit, and we'll replay that interview where Jason Hayward was very open and honest about his upbringing, what he learned from his dad about racism, what he experienced as a minor leaguer and even a major leaguer. All of it was really good. That's coming up at 5. Bryant is in Baltimore. Hey, Bryant, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hello. Wow, this is great. Hey, guys, how you doing, buddy?
Good. We're good. How are you?
Great. Long-time caller. I relocated to Baltimore back in 2015, man. Before that, I hung out with you guys down at Benny's, you and Waddle. First and foremost, man, you guys do a great show. You all have made my transition to Baltimore much more bearable, so thanks a bunch.
Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Three quick things, and I'll hang up, guys. I want to talk about intent versus impact, right? I can't speak to the intent of what police, you know, mean when unarmed African Americans are being killed, but I know what the impact is, right? When we protest, I know the intent is to make a statement. When we riot, the intent is to make a statement. But the impact in both of those scenarios are the same. I don't think the impact is being recognized. Number two, some people say, what can we do? I'll say be an advocate, right? I read Jonathan Tay's text the other day. We can no longer distract ourselves from the truth of what's going on. He said his message is not for black people and what they should do going forward. He said his message is to white people to open our eyes and hearts That's the only choice that we have. Otherwise, this will continue. And number three, I may be going off the deep end here, but add an anti-racism curriculum to K through 12 going forward. I doubt we're going to impact any of the baby boomers. I don't know. But, hey, guys, thanks a bunch. I'll shut up and listen to you guys, man.
I love all the
thanks
ideas.
For the calls. Yeah,
I mean, love them all. It should be talked about. That's more important than, you know, some of the things that we teach our kids. And like, one thing that a lot of my friends have been saying, too, is that, you know, hate has to be taught. You know, they learn, like, kids don't come out of the womb hating other kids.
No. Yeah.
And it's a learned behavior over the years. And that.
Well, I think Jonathan said something yesterday, too, to start the show. Like when we both said, hey, we don't know what to do. We don't have all the answers. He said, yeah, you do. I mean, basically it's, you know, in its simplest form, it's do the right thing. You know, it's, you know, treat people with the respect and dignity that they all deserve, regardless of their socioeconomic status, their religion, their race, whatever it is. And don't be dismissive of other cultures and other races and other people with regard to their thoughts and their feelings and their ideas. Don't just dismiss them because they don't seem to align with who you are on some fronts. I think once you kind of do that, I get, listen, I don't own a business. You know, I'm not in politics. That's where I think for me it starts. The foundation is every day you get up, make conscious decisions to be aware of others and don't be dismissive of other people's, you know, who they are. And you know, I don't mean to speak in platitudes, but I think that for the individuals out there, the white individuals out there, I think, you know, I'll just say for me, that's where it starts for me. And then to share those beliefs and thoughts with my family, and hopefully you get up every day and you live your life with that in mind, that you're going to do the right thing. You're going to treat people with respect and the dignity that you want. You're not going to be dismissive of other people's, you know, the other things that are important to them and the messages that they want to get across. And I mean, I guess as simple as that sounds and as flowery as it sounds, that's the basis of just an individual's perspective on a daily basis.
Chuck in Oak Park. Hey, Chuck, you're on ESPN 1000.
Yes, thank you guys for taking my call. First thing I want to say is, my as a Navy veteran, my interpretation of America goes all the way back to the killing of the buffaloes. That's where I get my history of America at. Secondly, Sylvie, I went through 7 weeks of chemo and radiology, and by that third week, I had to put that bullet in my mouth, and I made it. I'm cancer-free. And my question to Tommy is, when he said, would you go there, if the Bears were playing Green Bay tomorrow, and they said everybody is welcome, I'm going in with a mask, same way if the Cubs were playing Milwaukee, I'm going in a mask, regardless of social gathering, let me in so I can watch my game.
Chuck, thank you.
Thanks for the call. I think it's up to the individual. I mean, like, I'm going to listen to smarter people than me, but if you give me a choice, I'm going to try to let common sense be my guiding light. Like Carm said, if he got on a plane, he'd be even more diligent. I can tell you this just from the experience that I had traveling this past week. I could not believe, I guess I can believe how diligent people were about staying in their own space, using hand sanitizer, keeping their masks on, keeping their distance from others when they possibly could. I was very encouraged by the behavior of people considering all that is transpiring now with the pandemic.
A lot of people said that forever, like we were talking last week about things that will change forever, that for a lot of people, they will now always travel with a mask. You know, like whether the pandemic goes away or not, with all the germs and things that you can get sick on an airplane and in airports, that they may always wear a mask.
I can see that. I would just say to you, make sure it's a comfortable one, because the one I had was the
N95. Right?
It's not just that, dude. But for me, like, my face itched the whole time. It was so uncomfortable. And I kept it on. But, like, I'm trying not to touch my face because I'm on a plane. I've got I'm wearing a jacket, although it's 90 degrees outside, to cover my arms and my hands.
Ooh.
But it was, I will tell you this. Like, I know that at some point, I'd be lying to you if I said that I wouldn't. I will go back to shaking hands with people regularly.
So will
I just know that.
I do.
And I always will have, you know what I'll have? I'll have hand sanitizer on me.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
But that's just, I mean, I don't know. That just was my
experience.
We
talked about that last week. I think in a couple of years, even if you say you won't now, I think in 2-3 years, that's a long time. And, you know, it's something that's been ingrained in us for how silly it may be and wherever it started with.
Look, you're not a hugger.
Showing your hand with no weapon or whatever.
You're a handshaker. You're not a hugger. I know that. And I think you'll admit.
I've become more of a hugger, but yes, I'm usually not a touchy-feely guy.
Right, but hugging is kind of, you know, I mean, it is something that some people do. It's part of their personality, and I don't think that will go away forever. I just don't.
Marcus in Minneapolis, our buddy. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Marcus.
What's going on, guys?
How are you feeling?
I tried to call yesterday about, oh, man, I'm good. I'm real good. Everything is good out here. It's calmed down out here. So, yeah, man. First off, I want to thank you guys for giving us the platform to actually speak. I mean, I know you guys take my calls, but this is much different. First off, I want to say I hope that the first caller, I hope what Cap, if Cap did say that, I mean, hopefully he sounds like he kind of backed off on it today, and hopefully he apologized. It's not that so much that he disagreed, but that if he used that language, that's just the language that we can't have. It just makes things worse. But regarding what you guys talked about yesterday, Waddle, when you talked about the protesters and the looting and everything, I just want to read something. I'm sure you guys know who Tupac Shakur is, right, the rapper? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Okay, so he had this infamous tattoo on his stomach. It said Thug Life. The acronym for the hate to give little infants F's everyone. So what that's saying is, when slavery happened and then the 60s happened, you took the dads out the homes or whatever, the systematic thing happened, blacks were never made whole. So we still deal with it today. You know, we deal with poverty. You know, I'm from Chicago originally. I grew up, I was sleeping in a bed with my mom and my brother at 13 years old, sharing a bed, just, you know, not having money. And, you know, we don't grow up with the same opportunities. And when that happens, you create a system, and those people who struggle, they come back, and then they like that, the hate you give little infants, F71, they do things like that they're doing right now with the looting and the rioting. Now, with Ryan, Waddle, you said peaceful protest is a beautiful thing. In theory, it is, but it's just not. It's realistically, it's just not working. Eventually, Waddle, you became a receiver in the NFL. You didn't become a receiver in the NFL and get better as a receiver by doing something that didn't, you know, you changed things. You didn't, if something went wrong, if you were doing something wrong, you didn't do it over and over again. You changed it up and you did something to make you better. So to me, that's how I look at protesting. You can't keep peaceful protesting. It's just not going to work. It'll work for a couple of days. It'll make people uncomfortable and then they'll go back to their regular lives. Politicians won't have to change anything. So to me, I think it's almost like a necessary evil, and it could be just some karma coming back on America from what happened in the past.
But let me ask you this, Marcus. Let me ask you this though: what is accomplished by a minority-owned business being looted, and a minority owner of that business who has poured their entire life, their resources, their passion, their energy, everything into that business, and watch it destroyed by people that aren't there to they have really no interest in advancing the message that the other peaceful protesters are trying to advance? What they're trying to do is create chaos. They're damaging property. They're hurting people, and they're looting something. How does that help that minority business owner? I'm asking. I'm not trying to be a wise ass. I'm asking.
No. I got you. That's a good question. I don't think it helps at all, to be honest. And I didn't say it was a good thing that the people are looting. It's not going to be perfect. But what I think is it's bad for everyone. And I think it could get worse. It doesn't help anyone. But people are being heard. And people, if people realize their power even more, if they start to go into the non-minority businesses, that's when they'll be heard even more. And I think it can, because it can get worse. People are realizing right now in Minneapolis, when the protests happened, they didn't even have enough police to control the protesters. They had to call the National Guard in. And so people are realizing, like, oh, they couldn't even do anything. We can loot stores and stuff. They don't even have enough help. So while it doesn't help, it doesn't do anything good. I just think that it's being heard. They're being heard now. That's the main thing. And I don't know. It sucks, man. I seen it and I said, man, it sucks that people are losing businesses and things like that. But I don't know, man. Something just the peaceful. My main thing is the peaceful protests are not doing anything.
Marcus, thank you.
Since Martin Luther King. Thanks, man.
Stay safe.
Thank you for your input.
My buddy Marcus in Minneapolis.
Like I said to you, I'm not telling you I have all the right answers, and I'm not telling you that my opinions are the correct opinions, but I'd be dishonest if I wasn't giving you my opinion. And my opinion is that when things go from a peaceful protest to a destruction of property and attacking human beings, the message gets lost.
Yeah, that's
and I believe you saw George Floyd's brother speaking to this to a group. And
many advocates have said that.
I mean, it's heartbreaking to see minority-owned businesses that have been destroyed over the last couple of days in neighborhoods that you would think, you know, this is not going to happen. Now, we've seen plenty of peaceful protesters protecting different places. Like they're trying to keep those that are looking to do harm and to steal things to keep them out of businesses.
You said yesterday that you could pretty much identify the difference between the protesters and the opportunists.
I think Mueller made a great point yesterday is you can't lump them together. And that's I think that's obvious. But I think it's a very simple, you know, delineation between the two. Like it's not hard, I don't think, to discern who is there for the right reason and who is out there just to create chaos and do something that is just awful.
All right, DeMarcus in Orland Park, we're going to start with you coming up next. At 3 o'clock, Abdallah would like to have a few words about the Cubs. And there's a lot there with the Ricketts family audio that we want to play you coming up at 3. 332-3776.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Phone number to reach us, 312-332-3776. A lot of people being patient, and we appreciate that. We'll give as many people the floor as possible. DeMarcus in Orland Park, as promised, you start off our conversation right now. What's on your mind, DeMarcus?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good.
Okay, so what's baffling to me is that we as Americans, we've seen images of black men hanging from nooses. We've seen images of Martin Luther King and Selma and what the police have done to black communities. We know about mass incarceration, the Jim Crow era. So we've seen the mutilation of black bodies over and over again throughout history. We saw right here in this city, Laquan McDonald be gunned down by a police officer, and we saw the lies that were told. We saw the sentence that was given. All of this is unjust. And when Colin Kaepernick spoke up about it, he was pretty much shunned by 32 NFL teams. Fans didn't want him in the locker room. And so it's just baffling to me that every time this comes up, the only solution that's offered is let's start the conversation. I'm a parent. You guys are parents. I'm certain that if somebody took the life of one of your children unjustly, you wouldn't be wanting to have a conversation. You would want the person to be penalized. So given the fact that the U.S. government has allowed this type of behavior to ensue for hundreds of years, at what point do we say a conversation is not going to heal anything? They need to start to repair the damage that they've done to black families for years and years and years and years. And it's just baffling to me that every time we have this incident, you know, the white community acts as though, oh, they're surprised that this is happening when it's been right here in front of our face in our city year after year. You know, Mr. Floyd is not an isolated incident, and he may have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but it's the behavior of the government leading up to this point that has allowed our country to get to where it's at now. So if if anybody, white, black, yellow, green, whatever, if you want to help the black community for what we've suffered, and if you want to help repair the damage that has been done to our families for hundreds and hundreds of years, and the trauma that's been inflicted upon us, then we have to start the conversation about reparations. We have to raise the unemployment criteria from 20 to maybe 40 to 50% minority when we go and look for jobs. Like, nonsense like a Rooney rule should not even exist.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I said yesterday with Michael Wilbon?
It's a good call, DeMarcus. Thanks.
We live in a merit-based society where, you know, if you work really hard and you dedicate yourself, then you will succeed and you will be rewarded, regardless of what your profession is. And I think for the most part, it's a good system. But the problem is that if there is not fair and equal opportunity, then the system is spoiled. You know, so like I said this to Mike yesterday, you know, like if everyone's given the same opportunity, all right, fair, like with nothing hidden here, everyone's got the same opportunity, then you succeed or you fail based on your merit, how much time you put in, what you're able to accomplish and what you receive. And I think that for the most part, people would accept that. But when there is a lack of equal opportunity, that's when it becomes an unsustainable system. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
If your son and an African-American kid are given the exact same opportunity, and the African-American kid puts time in and effort and all of his resources in and outperforms your kid and eventually, you know, is rewarded for what he is doing, that's a fair system. And you can live with that because it's merit-based. The other person was better than you. But when the system promotes inequality with the opportunity, and it's something that I think it, you know, I saw Ken Frazier, who's the CEO of Merck, talking the other day, and you know, he talked about it. It's opportunity. It's having people willing to, you know, to be behind you in a cause, whether it's an internship or a mentor, you know, being a mentor for someone, but being given the opportunity and then being judged on whether or not you succeed or fail based on you having the same opportunity as others. I don't know if I've described that accurately, but I think that's the point to me is like, we have to have an environment where the same opportunity is given to everyone, regardless of who you are. And that's not the case.
And where black people don't have to fear for their life if they get pulled over.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
DeMarcus, the one thing I would just say is where the conversation isn't about understanding what we know. It's how we change this. How do we get the people out of the police force who are the bad ones? How do we make it a system where it's fair for everybody? That if you're speeding and you're going 15 over, you get a ticket and you go on your way and you don't have to worry for your life. And I'm treated differently as opposed to somebody who's black.
Like, yeah, I mean, listen.
That's where we want to have conversations. How do we change these things? Is it education in our school systems and things like that? So
it's, you know, it's amazing to listen to guys like Damian Woody and Ryan Clark and Marcus Spears on ESPN talk about, you know, we're all parents. I said this yesterday. And what I'm most interested and motivated by is my children. And they're adults, you know, for the most part. My kids, I worry about them on all fronts. But I don't have to worry about my daughters the way that Damian Woody has right. to worry about his daughters and his sons because of the color of their skin when they're in a car. And that's ridiculous.
Mellor, I know you wanted to say something. I want to get to that. Abdallah wants to talk about the Cubs. We got to play you something from Omaha, Nebraska, where Pete Ricketts got into trouble today. And it's not the first time that we've talked about a member of the Ricketts family saying the wrong things, saying a lot of wrong things, and how you feel about the Cubs right now. We're up in 2 minutes with that discussion.